Hi, welcome to New Zealand Vegan Podcast, episode 5. I'm your host, Knuckles. I just got back from out of town, so I'm trying to do this podcast on a weekly basis, and I'm a little bit later this week, but that's okay. I have some really good news this week, well, for myself. I am very excited that I got my first email. It's absolutely thrilling. It was a positive email. It was from a New Zealander who is a vegan, and I think what more could I ask for? I'm going to give a shout out to Jordan Wyatt. He has a website, and I'm going to tell you all about his website. I think I spelt his name wrong when I replied to the email, so it's Jordan with an A. Sorry about that, Jordan. Can be a bit distracted sometimes. Anyway, I got my first email, which was a great surprise, and it was a very positive email. And Jordan has a website which I have put on my blog. It's www.bebo, so that's bebo.com/InverVeggies, in other words, Invercargill Veggies. It's from Invercargill. So I think Bebo, reading a little bit more, is some sort of hosting site, I guess, where you can host blogs, just like Blogger. So that's what that is. So you go to Bebo.com, and the blog is InverVeggies, InverVeggies. And Jordan wrote to me, and he had actually discovered my podcast on iTunes, which I think is really great. I'm really glad to know that somebody's actually listened and knows that it exists. And shout out to Jordan for starting his own website. He's even thinking about starting a support group for people who are interested in changing their life towards a compassionate lifestyle. And he has members on there. So if you go to that link, and there's also a link on my blog, click on that, you'll get to this link. And it's people who are from Invercargill and who are interested in changing their lifestyle. And I just got to give props to these guys. I actually went on the website and had a little look, and everybody is very young, and I have great respect. One of the things I wanted to talk about today was I have a lot of respect for young people in their teens and 20s who are actually changing the way they eat and the way they live. I just have the utmost respect for them. I think it's incredible. I mean, young minds are some of the most beautiful things we have, and the fact that these guys are doing this early in their life, I have, nothing but admiration for them and support. And I know it's hard because there's a lot of peer pressure and there's a lot of negativity that goes on. And I think I grew up here, so I kind of remember that, especially for guys in New Zealand. One of the things I remember, and even for girls, and I don't think it was just me or my family, it's like you have to be so tough. And there's this big emphasis on toughness. And so I know that, especially for guys, I mean, New Zealand, one of my really good friends when I was growing up, she did a documentary in school because New Zealand had the highest rate of male teen suicide in the world per capita. And I think a lot of it has to do with this pressure that we put on ourselves as a culture to be so tough. So I know that people mistakenly associate eating meat with being tough and with not eating meat with being wussy. And I just like to speak against that. I think that making a stand for something you believe in and having the guts to stand up for that and to be gentle and kind. I have a lot more respect for somebody who has the power to cause harm, who does not cause harm, more than I do somebody who has the power to cause harm and who causes harm. I have more respect, and I feel that the person who chooses not to use that power to cause harm is way stronger and much more tough than anybody who bullies or uses their power. And so I have a lot of respect for these young people who have the guts to stand up to peer pressure and to believe in themselves and to believe in what they're doing enough and to band together and start a group like this. New Zealand is a is a culture all its own. I love this country. I love the people. They're some of the kindest, most beautiful people I know. There is a lot of mistreatment of animals here, but no more than anywhere else in the world. The thing about us is our culture is based on animal agriculture more than anything else, I think, and also we have this innate kind of need to be so tough, and it's kind of misplaced in a lot of ways. So I want to change that, just because I would love it if we would stop using animals and treating them the way we do. But it's a very deeply entrenched in our identity as a nation is farming and shearing and dairy farming and nowadays deer farming and things like that. Unless you change the innate way that people feel about all other living things, it's never going to change. So that's why it begins with people opening their minds to a new concept. And it's not about losing any strength. In fact, I think it's about gaining strength. I do very much more respect someone who chooses not to use the power that they have for evil or for it, just because they can. I think it takes a lot more strength and a lot more guts to not use that power, to take the easy way out. I mean, as human beings, we have these enormous brains and we have opposing thumbs or whatever it is that we've done that makes us allow these tools, and you know, we can adapt and survive anywhere in the world, and we can kill pretty much any other creature in the world with weapons. All the other animals in the world, they deal with what nature gave them. They're purely their bodies, and we don't. So, you know, we can go out and hunt elephant and carve up elephant and take their tusks and make jewelry out of their tusks. But just because we can doesn't mean that we should continue to do that. And I don't respect it. I don't respect it. Maybe I did when I was young, I respected the beauty of the art, but I just know that there's so many other things you can do art with without destroying life. So enough rambling. The theme of my podcast today is based on that. It got me thinking when I went on this website and I saw these young people, and they're from New Zealand, and you know, it's very inspiring. But what I really want to talk about today is there's this big fight. There's a big conflict, obviously, between a vegan lifestyle and a lifestyle of eating meat and using animal products. The conflict is widespread, obviously, and there is a lot of misconception about people who are vegan, and I really want to address one of the biggest ones, and that's basically one of the reasons why I don't. To me, it's irrelevant, the fact that, you know, whether meat is bad for you or not, or it's irrelevant, and that's a big problem, because you get people spending a lot of time and energy trying to convince people that it's unhealthy to eat meat, and it's a tough one to fight, because, you know, people have been eating meat and animal products for many, many thousands of years, and people have lived to a ripe old age doing that. So yes, there is a lot of disease and things going on, but it's really, really irrelevant. If you are a vegan, then what you really need to concentrate on, in my opinion, is the fact that you can live an extremely healthy and long life eating a vegan diet. And like I said in one of my episodes, and I can't remember if it was my English or Spanish, which one it was, I said whether it is exactly the same to eat a meat diet, or whether it is exactly the same to eat a vegan diet with regard to health, with regard to the environment, with regard to anything, theoretically speaking, and I really don't personally believe this, but that's irrelevant also. Even if theoretically speaking, let's say, a meat and an animal agriculture based existence was equally kind and fair to our environmental impact as a vegan diet, and it was equally healthy, in other words, there was no difference in the health benefits, I would still be vegan. for the ethical reason. What we need to stress when we're talking about veganism is you do have to talk about health and diet, because people are under the misconception that it is unhealthy and detrimental to be vegan. And that's what we need to fight against. And if you are trying to convince people that it is immoral to use animals because it's unnecessary, there's no need to try to convince them that it's unhealthy, even if you really do strongly believe that it is, because the point is that it's perfectly healthy and wonderfully healthy to be vegan. So the fact that you don't have to eat meat or don't have to eat eggs or cheese or drink milk to be healthy. You can be equally healthy, and in fact many people do believe more healthy eating a vegan diet, and you can have a less impact on the environment. But even if it was the same impact on the environment, which it really isn't, but even if it was, the point is we don't need to do it. And so don't go down the road when people try to drag you into an argument and they say, well, there was one little thing I noticed. Somebody had commented about the Maasai in Africa. The Maasai have part of their diet has been to drink cow's blood or to eat this. Yes, we know that, you know, human beings have eaten meat to get protein for a long, long time, and they have survived doing that. We also know that the Eskimos used seal skin and whale blubber to light their lamps, and if they didn't do all that, they wouldn't have been able to survive up there in Alaska. But the point is, the point that I'm trying to make, okay, is that we don't need to do that. We just don't. Whether we did, if we wanted to insist on living in Alaska where it's really completely inhospitable to us nature-wise, I mean, our bodies and everything like that. I mean, you know, if you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty and look at our physiology, we're our brains is what rules all. I mean, anybody who read Kurt Vonnegut. So, yes, we are perfectly capable of living in Alaska and hunting animals and using their skin to keep warm, but we don't need to. Whether we used to need to survive there or not, we don't need to. Let's just talk about now onwards. Anybody who listens to me, please just keep in mind, I'm talking about now onwards. We have synthetic materials that can keep us warm. We have knowledge of diet and knowledge of nutrition that lets us know that human beings do need protein, and we can get wonderful sources of protein from lentils and beans and things like that. We don't need animal protein. We don't need milk. That's what we need to be fighting against. Don't waste your time trying to convince people that it's bad for them to do that, because they have thousands of years of history in their favor saying, yeah, we can survive on, you know, eating animals. Well, so what? We don't need to. We don't need to anymore. You know, we never really did if we had had the knowledge then that we have now, but we don't. So the point is, it's not that you can do it, you know, is that you don't need to do it. You don't have to do it, because there are alternatives, especially for those of us who have a choice. And we're the ones who are consuming the world's resources. So when I'm doing this podcast, I'm reaching out to people who have a computer and who live in a pretty, you know, wealthy society, I would say, who have the way, who have the choice to choose about the resources that we are using. And, you know, there are places in the world where people are living, where they are living an extremely different way from us, and I would love to change that too. I mean, my dream is for the whole world to go vegan. Of course, that is my dream. I mean, the whole human world, the animal world, the nature world, we need to leave alone as much as possible, as much as possible. So, and when people try to compare us to animals and say, well, you know, tigers eat, you know, deer and things like that, that's really irrelevant. You're not a tiger. And they say, well, we're, you know, people, it's so funny because people will use anything they have at their disposal. In one breath, they'll say, well, we're, you know, God's creatures, and we're not, we don't come from, you know, we were made in the image of God, and therefore, you know, We are special and we're unique and we're not part of the animal kingdom, we're part of the human kingdom. And but then they'll turn around and say, well, we're natural creatures and we're allowed to eat cows and everything because tigers eat cows and it's just natural. Well, maybe one day I'll do a podcast on the religious issue because that is a whole nother issue, but I don't want to get sidetracked to that. So what I really want to concentrate today is that when I'm talking to people about veganism, I'm not going to try to convince them about the health detriment, the detriment to their health of eating meat or drinking milk, because that's really irrelevant to me. It really is. You can live as a human being eating animal products. You can. So there's no point in trying to say you can't. Okay? We've been doing it for a long, long time. You can drink milk. You can wear leather. You can wear fur. The fact of the matter is, you don't have to. You do it because you like it, or because you enjoy the taste, or because it's convenient, or because it's habit, or because you don't know any better, or because you're lazy. It's too hard to learn how to cook without the stuff that you've learned your whole life cooking. But none of it is necessity for us, for our culture. And there are people living in the wild who are subsisting on whatever they can get their hands on. And for the time being, let's just try to concentrate on those of us who have a choice, because those people are suffering almost as much as all the other wild creatures on Earth are suffering due to our consumption of the world's resources. So whenever when I see somebody do an article and say, well, for example, the Maasai have been eating all this, I'm like, so what? They actually, if you really do some deep investigation, the majority of their diet is grains and things like that. But that's not the point. The point is that neither do the Maasai have to eat animals. They do. They've developed farming and animal agriculture. But as a physiological being, as a natural body, flesh, the flesh and blood that we are, and our digestive system and all that, we can survive wonderfully and healthily on a balanced vegan diet. We can. So we really should. Because the fact that we do not need to eat this meat and we do not need to wear this leather and we do not need to use animal fat or lanolin for our skin or whatever other unearthly torture we're subjecting these animals to because we are used to it or because we enjoy the taste of them, that's what we need to concentrate on. Because it's a waste of time to try to tell people that you can't do that. And it's really irrelevant. Even if it was healthy to eat meat, the fact that it is equally, if not more healthy, to not eat it means that morally you do not need to eat it. Therefore, the fact that you can is unimportant. It is unimportant. We have our brains and we have these machines and we have this power over the planet. We do. We have the power to subvert rivers. I mean, we obviously can't. Mother Nature is the supreme force on the planet overall, but we do have the power to change ecology. I mean, we've done it everywhere to the worst, which also means we have the power to understand it and perhaps to undo some of the damage. I have to have faith in us, or there's no point in even continuing to even hope. I do have faith in us. And if we just tap into a different way of looking at the planet and a different way of living our lives from now forward, like I said, the past is really just the past. It doesn't exist anymore. We have the power, the knowledge, and we have the capability to live a completely different way than we do on this earth. I don't know what to do about human population and space. I don't know what to do about the damage that's already been done with regard to pollution and the poisoning of the waterways and things like that, and the extinction of creatures is obviously, once a creature is extinct, it's gone forever. And yes, I do know all you smart ass philosophers that, an infinity, etc., etc., but that's really irrelevant to me. I'm talking about as a moral obligation, the way you live your life as a human being on this earth today, the way that you choose to live your life. Do you choose to live your life with respect of the incredible earth that we are in today in 2009, forgetting what's going to happen in a million years, or forgetting what happened a million years ago, just now today? It's a choice that you have. It's a power that you have as an individual to make. Everybody has that power. Well, I take that back. We have that power. Anybody who's sitting here listening to this podcast, I guarantee you, you have this power. Okay? And it starts with us. It really does. I am focusing on living animals, that I'm really trying to change the way people look at them. It's a very difficult thing to do. It's so entrenched in us, but we are capable. I mean, look at these young people who have already grasped this idea. It's not a difficult thing to grasp at all. It's not hard to look at a sentient being that we are causing unbelievable suffering to simply for reasons of pleasure or amusement. A human being cannot compare themselves to a wild tiger who is hunting down a bush pig or whatever. You just cannot. I'm sorry, that's ridiculous. You're a human being in 2009 and you go out into the forest and you have your scope rifle and it's all just for fun. I mean, who are you kidding? You're not tough at all. You're an unbelievable coward, and you have no respect for life. You don't even need to eat this animal. You just want to put its head on your wall. There is no way in hell you can try to justify the necessity of that. If you use our symbolic language, which is one of the things that it makes us extremely unique, is our use of symbolic language, and you know, if you're going to use that as a justification of your moral superiority for all other life on earth, at least learn your own symbolic language. Necessity is not due, is not justified by pleasure, amusement, or convenience. And anybody in 2009 who lives in America or New Zealand or Australia and goes hunting with a scope rifle of a wild creature, they cannot justify that by necessity. We can't justify using any animal products anymore by necessity. We just cannot. If we're talking about basic survival, our survival as a living thing, the way things are supposed to survive in nature, and the year 2009 onwards, which is where we are, you cannot justify the use of animals in your life. You just can't do it. And so I think that you're a very strong person if you stand up to the entire rest of the world and try to fight them on it. I feel strong. I'm very glad that I was introduced to this concept, and it's a very easy concept to grasp. And I do have an example that I was going to mention, and I'm trying to find one that's less extreme, but this is the one that really gets me in my head, and I don't know if anybody else is going to understand it. But when we're talking about necessity, and we're talking about our use, all of our use of animals on this planet as human beings, if you really, really examine them really closely, it's pretty horrific, as anybody who has gone vegan and really started to examine these things knows. And I use the example of a horrible abuse that is also something that is extremely immoral and that is universally condemned as immoral, even though it still occurs. It is universally acknowledged that to molest an innocent child is wrong. However, I do know from reading about child molesters is that they do it because they like it, and sometimes they get great pleasure out of it, or most of the time they do, and it's the only way that they can find any satisfaction. So I would ask you to think about if a person who was doing that to very young children or any child or any kind of violation was accused, and they said, but I really like doing it, you know, it makes me happy and I enjoy it. Nobody would accept that as a justification of this act. Or if they came along with the excuse that, well, I can do it. I outweigh the child, and I'm much stronger than the child, and I'm much more intelligent than the child with regard to manipulation, and I can do it. I mean, it's very easy for me to do, and I am superior to the child with regard to this interaction. The child is defenseless against me. Nobody would use that as a justification to continue doing it. Yet that is a justification that we often use in our exploitation of animals. We say we're more intelligent than them based on our use of the word intelligent, and we say that we can do it, and we say that it gives us pleasure to do it. People enjoy the way that fur coats look, and they enjoy the way that leather looks, and they enjoy the taste of animals that they do not need to eat. And the fact that we can do it, and the fact that we are able to do it, and we are able to completely control these animal lives and exploit them mercilessly, does not justify doing it. I don't respect it at all, and I also think that it's an abomination, and it's horrifying and monstrous. And you know, we're actually monsters if you really look at the way that we treat the other living things on this planet, other sentient beings. We're monsters, and it makes a lot of the things that the horrific crimes that are done to our own species, which are also should be condemned and are often condemned when discovered, it makes them look even mild. So the point is not that we can eat meat. The point is that we don't need to eat meat. The point is not that we can utilize animals' bodies to make a beautiful jewelry and things. The point is that we don't need to do that. We don't need to wear jewelry. We just like it. And if you really do want to wear jewelry, there's all kinds of stones and things that you can do. But even that becomes, when you're trying to satisfy the urges of the rich members of society, turns into blood diamonds and things like that. So it's just a matter of, no matter how many other people you can influence or not influence in your own personal life, you can choose as a consumer, especially us, who are living in the societies where we can choose what we want to eat, and we can choose what we want to wear. We're not struggling for survival. As a society, seeing as how we're the consumers of the world, the rich, and I include myself in that category, even though I'm not really rich with regard to what other people I know would consider to be rich, and I do complain a lot about my situation when I compare myself to somebody who is living in the Democratic Republic of Congo, or in the far reaches of the earth where there is a lot of war and things. You know, it's like Gary Francione often says, people will use these examples and say, well, you know, if you're in a forest and you're dying of hunger and you have to kill an animal to eat it, what would you do? Well, that's kind of irrelevant to what we're trying to say when we're talking about going vegan. That's irrelevant because we're not talking about dire emergencies and necessities. We're talking about preference. So I hope this made sense. Whenever you're talking to anybody about veganism, whenever I'm talking to anybody about veganism, I don't try to get into a dialogue about how it's bad and unhealthy to eat meat, although I do actually think it is not very healthy. I stress the fact that it is healthy to be vegan, and that's all that matters. You can be very healthy living without eating animals. You can be warm and dry without using animal skins and animal fur. And all the damage to the environment that we're doing with regard to any other kind of agriculture aside, you know, people will come at you and say, yes, but when you're manufacturing your synthetic materials, you're causing pollution, and you know, you're devastating the landscape. And I do cons I would never deny that. But my point is that we can choose to not use these living animals as our renewable resources. We do it because we want to. And we can choose to address that or we can choose to not address that. But to turn around and say that we should continue to turn around and say that we should continue to do it because we can is as monstrous. Oh, Buddha. Anyway, it's as monstrous as a child molester turning around and saying, look, I can do this, it's very easy, and I want to keep doing it because it's the only thing that makes me happy, I get great pleasure out of it, or I can't live without it because I would be unhappy, you know, is about as horrific as us turning around and choosing to continue to exploit these animals, knowing what we know. And we all know it, we just don't all admit it. So, like I say, the truth hurts, but it's worth it. So props to anybody who has the guts to be strong and not use animals, because that's being merciful, and that's being a lot stronger than somebody who continues to cause devastation and harm. Just because they can. That's not benevolent. If you people think they're so godlike, you know, on this earth, and they're so powerful, they rule the planet, I think that it's a duty to be merciful. If you think that you have that power anyway. And, you know, I look at domestic animals, and we do have power over their lives. Incredible power over their lives. We have as much power over their lives as the Nazi prison camp, as the Nazis who ran the prison camps had over the power of the Jews' lives. And we're just as guilty as them. Anyway, I'm not trying to be negative, just trying to point it out. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll be back.